Okay, welcome everyone. My name is Christina Nordstrom and I'm part of the CCNSO Secretariat. As you know, this is an introduction to the CCNSO for newcomers and for anyone basically that wants to learn more about how the CCNSO works. And since about 2 years, it has become a tradition to have these webinars prior to the ICANN meetings, and we currently do them once a year. Gabby and I and Bart will take you through a presentation, and after that there will be a little time for questions, but you're also welcome to interrupt if you think of a question during the presentation. We have predicted that the webinar will take about 30 minutes.
Okay, I'll take on the first slide, and as you'll see, it's rather complicated. We've included this slide to show you where the CCNSO fits in the overall ICANN structure. As you'll see, the CCNSO is one of the three supporting organizations. And what does that mean? It means, first of all, that as one of the supporting organizations, it is a policy developing organization. Under the umbrella of ICANN. If you look at all the others, say like at large or the Governmental Advisory Committee, they do not develop policies. It's only the CCNSO policies for relevant for the CCTLDs, GNSO policies relevant for the GTLDs, and the ASO, that's policies relevant for the internet numbering. So these three, so that's one. The second point, and as you'll see, there are arrows going up to the board of directors. The three supporting organizations appoint board members with full vote. Just recently, at large is also appointing a board member, but just one. The CCNSO, GNSO, and ASO appoint two board members, and the other board members are appointed by the nominating committees. The advisory committees, such as the Governmental Advisory Committee, Technical Liaison Group, they appoint liaisons. They sit in the board but do not have any formal voting power. So this is how the CCNSO is embedded in the overall ICANN multi-stakeholder structure / model. Okay. I'll now hand over to, I think it is Gabby to take us through, oh, Christina to take us through the next slides. Christina?
No, that's me. Oh. Hello, everybody. Okay. This is Gabby, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about who we are. First of all, the CCNSO is, of course, our members. At the moment, we have 152 members, and the members select the council. We have 18 councillors at the moment, and we will talk more about the council a little bit later. And then the council selects the chair and two vice chairs. Currently, our chair is Byron Holland from Canada, and our vice chairs are Keith Davidson from New Zealand and Katrina Sataki from Latvia. And then it's us, the CCNSO Secretariat, and we are supporting both the council but also the members in the work. So these are physical CCNSO. This is an overview on how our members are distributed around the world. As I've mentioned, we have currently 152 members. Our latest member to join was India last year. I have to add, though, that this is a map according to ICANN regions, and the ICANN regions do not always correspond to the UN regions map, so in some cases there might be some surprises, but this is a good overview on how our numbers are spread. And this is showing how much we have grown since our start in 2003. We were a little bit under 40 members then, and now we're over 150. And about the CCNSO Council, we are in total 18 councillors. And we have five regions, and there are three councillors per region, and they're all elected by the members. And then we also have three more councillors which are selected by ICANN's nominating committee. They come from different businesses than the CCPLD business, because they're meant to bring in some other knowledge and views than a typical CCPLD operator would do. We also have all four regional organizations as observers, and I'm pleased to say that we have a very good working relationship with all four of them, and we try to involve them as much as possible in our work and working groups. We also have two liaisons that observe what we are doing. One is from the GNSO, and the other one is from ALAC. So they sit on our calls and meetings and, observe and report back to their councils on the work of the CCNSO. And also vice versa, we have one liaison to the GNSO that reports back to us, and one to the ALAC as well. And this is what we look like, and I think we will start by introducing ourselves, Bart.
Yes, I'm Bart Bosink, as you can see, the only male in the secretariat. I'm based in the Netherlands, and I've been involved in the ICANN environment almost since 1999. First, from the outside, being involved with one of the CCTLDs, DOSNL, and around November 2005, I've started working for ICANN, first in the RER environment, and since 2007 in the CCTLD environment. And I'm based, as I said, in the Netherlands. I live in a very small town. And yeah, that's about it. Christina?
My name is Christina, and I've been with ICANN for 5 years. I'm based in Sweden, and I'm responsible for the secretariat's operational tasks. So, for example, the virtual meeting tools, the conferencing logistics, and the CCNSO meeting logistics. And I also write minutes for the council, and I support some of the working groups together with Bart and Gabby.
And I'm Gabby, and you probably have seen many emails coming from me because one of our main responsibilities is to distribute information to our members. I'm also the main point of contact for members, membership issues. I'm dealing with membership applications. And if you have any questions, send them to me, and if I can't answer them, I will make sure that someone else can. I'm also dealing with, we have a small travel funding committee, and I'm dealing with all this travel funding issues. I'm also supporting the work of some of our working groups, and I'm also supporting the council. And I'm working from Warsaw in Poland. And this is, as you notice, all of us, we're working from home, Bart from the Netherlands, Christina from Sweden, and I'm from Poland. And that works pretty fine because we have Skype calls, etc. And I don't know, we've been working for a long time together, and it's just working just fine. So I'm just going to tell a little bit now about what the CCNSO actually is doing. But first of all, we are a worldwide platform for exchange of information and for networking, and that makes us quite unique that we actually can offer you the entire world. And these two functions are perhaps what most people think of when they think of the CCNSO, but we do have some other important functions as well, and one is to represent the CCTLD community as much as possible within ICANN, community interests, that is towards other ICANN bodies, but also sometimes to the outside world. It's not always possible to represent a CCTLD point of view because there are many point of views, but we're trying to represent all the interests that are within the CCTLD community. We also do a little bit of policy development, we're really emphasis on a little bit, because our scope is very, very narrow. So there's not much room for policy development. And during the last 11 and a half years of existence, we only had two policy development processes, and the first one dealt with our own bylaws. The second one, more recent, was dealing with IDN. It's not completed yet, but it's almost completed. So you can see we really don't have much room for policy development. But we do some policy-related work as well, and policy-related work that is, for instance, we're interpreting policies that already are there, and we're trying to find out what's the best way for them to be applied on CCTLDs. For instance, we had a working group, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which was looking into the RFC 1591 and wrote a big document on how we think, or the CCTLDs think, it should be applied to us. And we always try to involve even non-CCNSO members into this work, because we're really keen we really want all CCTLDs to be involved as much as possible. Another aspect of our policy-related work could be that we actually give advice to other supporting organizations. A good example would be how we many times have advised the GNSO on who is policy, because they were reaching to us to see what do CCTLDs do about that. We don't have a CCNSO who is policy, but our CCTLDs, many of them have very elaborate policies around their who is, and we were able to give advice to the GNSO on how the various CCTLDs deal with that. And then, what does the CCNSO Council do? The Council actually has two main functions. And first of all, it's an administrative role, because the Council sets our work plan, it looks into our workload, it sets strategies and basically leads the community in which direction it should take. It also sets up working groups, etc. Tells the CIS Secretariat what to do, for instance, if this work. And then it also has a representative role, and they are our face outwards. So if, for instance, the ICANN board wants to talk to the CCNSO, they will first of all go to the CCNSO Council, and it's the same with the other bodies within ICANN and sometimes also to the outside world. It's important to underline that the CCNSO Council differs from many other councils in that it doesn't actually have direct power. The power lies with the members. So, for instance, if we have a policy development process, it's not the council that votes on that. It's actually the members that vote on that. And that is a big difference to, for instance, the GNSO Council. The power lies with the members. The members have, as I mentioned, direct capacity. It not only elects the council members, most of them, 15 of the 18 councillors are directly elected by the CCNSO members, but it also selects two of the ICANN board members. As mentioned, they have a final vote when it comes to policy development processes, recommendations. And also, if needed, they actually can overturn a council resolution. If they don't like a resolution the council passes, there is a mechanism for the members to actually undo it. It has never happened in the history of the CCNSO, but it's there in place if needed. Christina.
Yes, thank you. So one way for members to contribute to the CCNSO work is to join one of the CCNSO working groups. We currently have 11 more or less active groups with various focus, and it's a great way to get involved in the issues that are important to you. There is, for example, the SOP working group that provides input to ICANN's strategic and operational plan, and there's the meetings program working group in charge of the CCNSO agenda. And lately, of course, we have a few new groups dealing with the IANA stewardship transition and accountability processes. And one I'd like to mention is the ISTAC group that coordinates the input from all the different channels in these processes to help the CCs to get an overview of what's going on. If you want to read more about the active and former working groups, you can go to the CCNSO website in the link that is shown below. So how does the CCNSO organize its work? The CCNSO Council has monthly telephone conference calls, and they also meet face-to-face at ICANN meetings. They also frequently meet with the leadership of other SOs and ACs. And once a year, the Council has a face-to-face workshop to go more into depth with topical issues. And the CCNSO community meets at every ICANN meeting for 2 days. I'll get back to that. And there is also always a tech day on Mondays, which nowadays aims to include other communities as well. It used to be a CC thing, but now it's open to everybody. Then, of course, the working groups meet.
Do you want me to take it over from here, Christina? Christina? It appears that Christina has dropped off, so I'll continue from here and look a little bit more in detail into, say, how the CCNSO organizes its work. As Christina alluded to, one of the methods is setting up working groups. Now, as always, working groups come in different tastes and different flavors. In the CCNSO, we make a distinction with almost what are permanent working groups. An example is the Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group, which was established in 2009 and which is providing input and feedback to ICANN's Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group. Just recently, the membership has been quote-unquote revitalized, and it's in the process of seeking a new chair, but that's, as I said, that's one way of organizing, so creating a permanent working group. So there is no closing date, effectively, or a temporary one, such as what Chris or Gabi already said, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, and temporary doesn't mean that it can't take long. For example, again, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group has been working for 5 years, but is on the brink of being closed as, say, their final report is under discussion for adoption by both the CCNSO Council, or the CCNSO Community, and the Governmental Advisory Committee. Now, again, what is one of the characteristics of a working group? The scope, so the issues and topics they may address, is defined in its charter, and the volunteers are mostly, especially if it's only a CCNSO working group, from the CCTLD community at large. So in seeking volunteers, the CCNSO doesn't make any distinction, or there is no distinction, between members and non-members of the CCNSO. There are examples where you will see a lot of where you see CCTLD managers who are not member of the CCNSO involved in the work of say that's supported by the CCNSO. A very good example currently is the co-chair of the Cross Community Working Group on this IANA Stewardship Transition Working Group is Lisa Fur, and she is from Denmark, and Denmark.dk is not a member of the CCNSO. So again, to stress, there is no distinction in that respect between CCNSO members and non-members. All these working groups report to the CCNSO Council, and that's more administrative, to ensure that they make progress, etc. And some of them are cross-community working groups. A good example being the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which is a cross-community working group, meaning the both the CCNSO and another supporting organization or advisory committee have adopted the charter, and the working group itself reports back to these chartering organizations. Other important cross-community working groups currently are, for example, the cross-community working group on enhancement of ICANN's accountability, and, as I just said, the cross-community working group on the for the naming-related functions regarding the NTIA or the IANA stewardship transition process. So, working groups. As Gabi said, policy development is effectively is supposed to be the main task of the CCNSO, if you would look at the bylaws. However, it is very limited until now. As Gabi said, we only had two, and one of the main, or the two main reasons for this, I would say, first of all, and most importantly, that the scope to set policies is very, very limited. So what is excluded are any policies relating to CCTLDs themselves, and this is defined in Annex C of the ICANN bylaws. That is an important difference with, for example, the new with the GNSO, and secondly, why it's hardly used, it's because it's a very lengthy and hard process to do. As Gabi said, we had only two policy development processes until now. The first one on the bylaws, changing the bylaws, although it was, relatively simple, took 15 months, took a little bit over a year. And we did the second one, say, on the IDM CCTLD string selection, has taken almost 5 or 6 years, but to be fair, that one was, initiated, put on hold because of the IDN fast track evolution, and then was picked up again. So that's with regard to the policy. To give you an idea and understanding, there is a graphical representation of the CCNSO website where you can find it, and you can already see, just for the scoping of a PDP, it is a kind of workflow indication how difficult and how many steps are involved. So other ways that the CCNSO is organizing it works is through study groups or ad hoc groups, very lightweight charter. They advise either to the council or can provide direct input. We, in the process of setting up a new one, the ad hoc group for review of IDM fast track process. They're research focused in principle. Another good example of the research focusedness was a study group on the country and territory names. And finally, as a third kind of grouping, the way the CCNSO organizes works is through CCNSO council committees. Again, administrative focused and report to council. One of the most important ones, which is for the council, is what is called the triage committee. What it does is advise the council whether to take on a work item in its work plan or not. Last year, the CCNSO, so in 2013, the CCNSO received around 30s requests for input or feedback from other SOs and ACs, so other supporting organizational advisory committees, or from ICANN staff or from the board. This year, or 2014, it received over 64 of such requests. And one of the nice things about the triage committee is that we have a mechanism, as one of the few SOs ACs, who track all these requests, and also we have a mechanism to deal with all these requests. So that's one of the council committees. And finally, another way the CCNSO provides his work is, having CCNO's statements and position papers, the recent example was the input of the CCNO Council into the geographic names project or from the GAC. There is a GAC subgroup who has organized for the first time a public input process, and the CCNO Council submitted a statement prepared by one of the working groups. If you look at the CCNO statements and position, it can be either a CCNO Council or CCNO statement, depends a bit on the who is involved in support of the statement. Most of the times it's a council statement, because a full CCNO statement will take quite some time to achieve. There is a drafting team involved, and the council or membership adopts the draft, so that's a distinction, and it's a response or input into a public consultation by either ICANN or an SO or AC. Finally, work plan and prioritization. As I said, one of the council committees is the triage committee. This will provide input whether or not to work on a topic. That topic is included in the CCNO work plan, and there is a monthly update, and there is an annual overview. So in order for the CCNO Council to manage it works, it's the work of the CCNO, and it can be found on the CCNO website. And secondly, and this is related, is prioritization of the work items. Currently, and especially with the NTIA stewardship transition and accountability process, the workload of the CCNO has reached almost its limits. What it means is, the availability of volunteers has reached its peak. The prioritization uses a very simple model based on importance and urgency, capacity needed and available, and the prioritization is done by the CCNSO Council and mostly at its workshop it's at its annual workshop this time in Singapore at the upcoming meeting. So now I've run through what I wanted to tell you, and I think I hand it over to Christina again.
Yes, thank you, Bart. As mentioned, upcoming in Singapore, there will be a tech day. It's always on Monday, and it's open for anyone, and so is the two-day CCNSO members meeting. And these three big days are always in the same room. This time it's going to be in a room called Olivia. So once you have found that room, you know where to go for the CCNSO-related meeting and for tech day. The tech day agenda will be up shortly, and the CCNSO meeting agenda has already been published. Gabby, would you like to tell us something about what's coming up on the CCNSO agenda in Singapore?
Sure. We will, of course, have two big sessions dealing with the IANA stewardship transition. That will be on Tuesday, and we will also deal with ICANN accountability on Wednesday. We're still working on the details around these two sessions, and as soon as we know more, they will be up on the agenda. But we also have some other sessions. We will have one on marketing, and we will also have a legal session, and we also have a CCTLD news session, which always is very popular. So I think these were the main sessions. So I welcome you very much to join the CCNSO meeting day.
Thank you, Gabby. And, of course, we will have various working group meetings as well. Some of those will be closed, but some of them are open, and you can find a list of all CCNSA-related meetings at the CCNSA calendar, which you will find if you go to the CCNSA website. And I will now quickly try to show you how to navigate if you want to go to the CCNSA meeting page. Just bear with me for a second. I will share my screen. I hope you all can see the CCNSA website.
Yes, we can.
You can? Okay, great. So in the left navigator, you see a tab called CCNSA Members Meeting. You click on that, and it will take you to a list of the meetings, the previous meetings, and the current one. So you click on Singapore, and you can find a menu up here that will show the agenda. That's the CCNSA meeting agenda for Singapore. And there is also a page for Tech Day. It's not populated yet, but you will find audio and transcripts and presentations there. And you will find the general list of audio and transcripts on another page also in the top bar. And you can also find the presentations for the CCNSA members meeting and much more. The council minutes will be published here and the meeting report. And so it's a good page to go to if you want to get an overview of the CCNSA work during the Singapore meeting. I'm going to try to find my way back into Adobe now. Not sure how that's done. There it is. Okay. So, in Singapore, we will also have the traditional CCNSO cocktail. And it's open to NACC, TLD. And you will not need a ticket. You will receive invitations during the CCNSO members meeting with instructions to where it is. And there will be a map on the back so you can find the place. And it's going to be in a place called Privé Chimes on Victoria Street from 7 to 9 on Tuesday evening. So lastly, I would also like to mention that we have a few social media channels, and you can find those on the CCNSO homepage. We have a CCNSO YouTube channel, a Facebook page, a Flickr stream, and a Twitter account. And you can find the links on the homepage. And worth mentioning also is that last year we started a CCNSO podcast where you can hear community members and ICANN staff talk about topical issues. And you will also get some meeting information. And there is one coming out this week. You can find that also on the CCNSO homepage. So we hope you listen to that. For any questions you may have, either at the meetings or in between, you can always turn to me, Gabby or Bart, or you can email us at the CCNSO secretariat at ICANN.org. So thanks for listening today. Do you have any questions?
Excuse me.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Can I know where I can get some information about this conference on other platform, can I?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
The presentation is recorded and will be posted on the CCNSO website as well as the slides. So if you want to take your time and go through it, we will send out a link to the presentation, and it's always you can always go to the CCNSO website itself. Does that answer your question?
CCNSO website, right?
Yeah.
Yes, CCNSO.ICANN.org.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? If not, then I thank you very much for attending the call and hope to see you in Singapore or at another event or online. Bye-bye.